The title of this message is Tell Your Story. Tell your story. God has given each one of us so many stories.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Heavenly Father, we do love You. And Lord, we know that You loved us first. Because as we were yet sinners, Lord, You died for us. You died so that we could have eternal life. You took all of our sin, all of our filth, and You nailed it to that cross. So Lord, You've shown us Your love. We feel Your love. We see Your love. And Lord, we do love You too. And Lord, as we go into Your Word, Lord, we just ask that You would continue what You've already started. Continue to speak to us in this place today, Lord, because we have come here because we've loved You. We've come here to hear from the throne of Almighty God. And God, we expect it. We know that You always come through. We know that You cannot fail us. We know that You will not leave us, Lord. And as we read Your Word, Lord, we just ask that it would become real to us today, that it would be alive, that it would jump off the pages, Lord, and we would see it, and it would change us. And Lord, I thank You for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, the Lord gave me this title last Sunday. And when He said it to me, I just thought He was talking to me about something else. And as He said it to me, I was like, I have already done that. He was like, no, that's what you're going to preach on. And I was like, oh, okay. But through the week, I just, as He does, He just started unfolding it and allowing it to become real to me and for me to walk in it. And before I get into it, I do feel obligated to give you guys an update. Last week, I had mentioned that when Pastor Jerry got back, the Steelers could very well be 0-3. And they are 0-1. So they are well on their way to complete failure. Sorry, Rick. Oh, and the Cowboys won 40-0. So anyway, I thought there were some people who were like, what happened with all that? Just, I'll keep you abreast of the Steelers' failures and the Cowboys' successes. Let me tell you a story before we get into this. On Thursday, my day off, Lisa still wasn't feeling completely better. So Tucker and I went up and toured the Aviation Center at Pierpont, and that was a great time. God just blessed that. And as we got back, I was getting ready to go to the store. And I was going to go and pick up Landon, and we were both going to go to the store because she was going to make dinner for us that night. And as I'm going down the stairs into our basement to go in the garage, I heard the dog bark, and there was a knock on the door. I was like, so I turned around, came back up, and Lisa had walked out on the porch because our dog acts as if she would eat whoever comes to our door, but she would not. She would love it if you would pet her nonstop. But the assessor's office was outside, and they wanted to come and measure our deck to make sure that we were taxed enough. And they had already come in April. And I thought, well, this is odd. So I went out and I was like, you know, they came in April, and I put this on our assessment. He was like, well, I don't have any record of what happened in April. And I was like, well, do what you got to do. It's no trouble. So he goes around back, and I waited, and I went out back, and we started talking. And he's like, I'm really sorry. And I was like, don't worry about it. He was like, no, you know, people don't like to see me coming. And I was like, I don't mind. But on and on, he said, I am so sorry. And I was like, really, you do not have to apologize. And he goes, well, he goes, I think that we're taxed plenty. And I was like, well, I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. And he said, but I know people don't get excited to see me. You're going to have to pay more taxes. And again, he said, I'm really sorry. And I said, listen, I said, God provides for our taxes. I said, it says in the Bible to pay taxes to who they're due. I said, you don't have to apologize to me anymore. I said, God will pay my taxes. And he goes, okay. He was like, I believe in God too. And I was like, awesome, let's talk about it. So we started talking about God. And he started telling me about how his stepdaughter had passed away, and how his wife was struggling, and how he had been raised in church. And I was just able to share with him about Jesus. And I told him as he went to leave, I said, I have no doubt that you have no record that someone was here in April. I said, God sent you here today because he wants to minister to you. He wants to heal this. He wants you to be his follower. And he said, thank you so much. And he looked like he was going to cry. And he said, I can't thank you enough. And I was like, well, I'm glad you were here. And I have no worries about the taxes. God spoke. And I thought, thank you, God, for that opportunity. Just like you got to share, we have opportunities and we have to look for them. And I was like, God, let me share my story. You know, and I told him, I said, I'm not worried about this. I said, I've had nothing as a child. I remember when our church would have to give us food so we'd have enough to eat. I remember when we didn't have a car. We didn't have a place to live. I said, God did all this. God is faithful. And I was able to share with him just one story that I had gone through, and I just praised God for that. And I didn't want to give that during the praise reports because I knew that I was going to stand in front of everyone. But it was such a blessing for me to get to pay more taxes, and I just want to praise God for that. So let's get into the scripture. Psalm 66. Psalm 66. And we'll start in verse 16. And he says, come and hear, all you that fear God. And he says, I will declare what he has done for my soul. He says, I cried to him with my mouth, and he was praised with my tongue. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God has heard me. He's attended to the voice of my prayer. And he says, blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. He says, come and hear. Psalm 71, verse 15. The psalmist says, my mouth will show forth your righteousness and your salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. I can't number all you've done for me, he says. And he goes on, I will go in the strength of the Lord God, and I will make mention of your righteousness, even of yours only. Psalm 78, verse 1. He says, listen. He says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which you have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength, his wonderful works that he hath done. He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Psalm 105. In verse 1, he says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him, sing songs unto him. Talk of all his wondrous works. In Psalm 66, he said, come and hear. In Psalm 71, he said, my mouth will show forth your righteousness. Psalm 78, he says, listen, give ear. Psalm 105, he says, make known his deeds. The title of this message is Tell Your Story. Tell your story. God has given each one of us so many stories, and we need to tell people about them. We need to tell as many people as will listen, as we come in contact with, about our story. And we don't have one. We have so many. So when he said to me, tell your story, I said, I did. I told it in Holy Bible Bubble. I told all about me. He said, no, tell your story's the sermon. And I was like, oh, well, that's going to be good. And I said, is there a scripture that says, thou shalt tell your story? And he said, I'll show you. And he did. So let's go to Mark chapter 5. I didn't remember that commandment. Thou shalt tell your story. But in Mark 5, there is a story that I've read over the past few weeks that I could read every week. It's one of my favorite stories. But in Mark chapter 5, in verse 2, Jesus is coming, right? Jesus has come. He's come into this land. And it says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, not even with chains. He's been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. He broke the chains in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains. He was in the tombs. This man was crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshiped him. And he cried with a loud voice and he said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of the Most High God? And then he says, I beg you by God that you torment me not. And Jesus said unto him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he came out immediately. And I'm not going to go through the rest of this. We've read it and we've talked about it. The demons begged Jesus, please don't torment us. Please let us go into the swine, right? And he does. He lets them go and they run. But jump down to verse 18. So Jesus is leaving, right? He's done this. He's leaving this area. And he was come into the ship. The man that had been possessed with the devil, he said, can I just be with you? I just want to go with you. Right? I mean, he has spent all this time being tormented, and the one that saved him, he was, I'm just going to go with you. And from that time on, there were 13 disciples. He was the secret, hidden disciple that we never talk about, right? No. Jesus had a different plan for him. And here's what it was in verse 19. He said, you can't come with me. But he said, here's what I want you to do. Here is your mission. He said, go home to your friends and you tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and that he had compassion on you. Go tell your story. Tell them how I saved you. Tell them how I released you from that bondage. Go tell everyone. And he departed in verse 20 and he began to publish all the great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. They had known what was going on. People didn't go by him. He couldn't be tamed. He was in a bad way. He was screaming. He was cutting himself. And now he was delivered and had peace. People saw the miracle, right? People saw it. And Jesus said, go tell your story. Tell people what I've done. Well, the same thing is what we need to do. John chapter 4. Jesus meets someone else. And in verse 5, it says he comes to the city of Samaria, near the parcel of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. It says Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, he sat at the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Now his disciples were gone away from the city to buy meat, so it was just Jesus and this woman by the well. And then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, can ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and he said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. And then the woman said, sir, but you don't have anything to even draw the water with. And the well's really deep. When? From whence? From where do you have that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank from it himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and he said, "Whosoever drinketh of this water will thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. The water that I will give will be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said, "Sir, give me that. I want that water, that I wouldn't be thirsty, neither come hither to draw." And Jesus said unto her, "Well, go call your husband and come back." And the woman answered, and she said, "Well, I don't have a husband." And Jesus said, "You've said well that you have no husband, for you've had five. And he whom you now have isn't your husband. In that, you spoke the truth." And the woman said, "What? How do you know that?" She perceived. She said, "Are you a prophet? Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship?" And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." And he says, "But the hour comes now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman says, "Well, I know that there's a Messiah coming, which is called Christ. When he's come, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto you am he." And upon this came his disciples back. They marveled that he talked with the woman, because again, she was a Samaritan. Yet none of them said anything. It says in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and says to the men, you got to hear this story. You've got to hear what happened to me. She says, you got to come and see this man. He told me all things that I ever did. Isn't he the Christ? Then they went out of the city and they came. And then 31 through 38, it's Jesus talking with his disciples. But look at verse 39. It says, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for what the woman told them. For the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. She told her story and people came. Tell your story so people will come. She told her story and look what happens. It says, then the Samaritans, they came. They besought him that he would stay with them, and he abode there 2 days. And it says many more believed because of his own word. And then they said to her, they said, now we believe, and not just because of what you told us, for we've heard him ourselves and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. He spoke to one woman and she went and she told people what had happened and they came to Jesus. That's what we have the opportunity to do. We're not going to save people, but we got to tell what Jesus has done in our lives so that they'll come. It's such a great thing. Has he done great things? Didn't we just sing that? He's done so many great things. Tell people. Tell your story. I want to tell another story that's in the Bible, in the Old Testament. So we'll go back to 1 Samuel. And we'll just go to 1 Samuel 17. So here we have this young shepherd boy. He's out tending to his father's sheep. And his father says, hey, take food to your brothers that are at war. So here comes this young shepherd. His name was David. And he comes and he hears all the men of war talking about this giant, talking about this great warrior, talking about how there's nothing they can do to defeat him. So this young shepherd, he's like, I mean, he's talking about God. Like, he can't talk about him. So they take the young shepherd to the king, to King Saul, okay? So in 1 Samuel 17, verse 32, David comes to the king and he says, hey, and this is just this young shepherd, right? He comes and he says, don't let any man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go. I'll go and fight him. And Saul said to David, well, you're not able to go. You can't. You can't fight him. He says, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight. You're just little. You're just a youth. He's been a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story real quick. So David said to Saul, your servant, I kept my father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear. And they took a lamb from the flock. We never saw that lamb again. Because, you know, it was a bear and a lion, and they ate it. Right? No. He had a story to tell, and he was going to tell him. He said, listen. He said, they took the lamb, but he said, look. He said, I went out after him. I smote him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him and slew him. And now he says, your servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, because he's defiled the armies of the living God. Now look in verse 37. He says, listen, the Lord. See, when you go and tell your story, you got to tell who did it. David knew he didn't kill them. He didn't defeat a lion and a bear. He said, listen, he said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto him, go, and the Lord be with you. We're not going to look on what happened. Guess what happened? The Lord delivered just like he had before. Goliath was slain before the hand of God, just like the lion and the bear. See, David got there and they said, you're too little, you can't do it. And he said, I've got a story. He said, God, let me tell you what God did and what he's going to do. We've got to tell people when we come up to people that are doubting and don't. Let me tell you what God did. I know this seems hard. Let me tell you what God did. God has done great things in us, right? Yes. Tell people, especially when they're discouraged. Look for opportunities to share your story. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, another reason we get to share, or should share our story. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So Paul's letter, second letter to the church. He says in verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He says, who comforts us in all our tribulation. He doesn't say we don't have tribulation. He says God comforts us in our tribulation, that then we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Remember when God comforted you in your tribulation? Go tell someone that's in tribulation. God comforted me. God comforted me, and he'll do it for you. He says, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation abounds by Christ. So whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation. And salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it's for your consolation. It doesn't matter whether we're in tribulation or we're being comforted. God will come through. God has come through. He did come through, and he will continue to come through. And he says, our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that you are partakers of the sufferings. That means that you also be partakers of the consolation. And then he goes and he tells a story about a time they were in Asia. He says, listen, we wouldn't, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. He says, but, in verse 9, we had the sentence of death, like we're going to die, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. And then he goes on and he thanks, he says, you also helping together by prayer When someone prays for you and God answers, we got to tell. We do that at prayer meeting or any of these praise reports. Do we need to take these out of the basket? We need to tell what God has done. It's imperative that we encourage each other with the stories of God's miracles in our lives. Small or great, we talk about it every week. But he says, thank you for helping together by prayer, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many people, we're thankful that we may be given by many, many thanks on our behalf. He was telling, listen, we were in Asia and it was over. It was over and then God showed up. It was over and then God delivered us. We thought we were going to die, but God delivered us. Tell your story to whoever will listen. He'll give you an opportunity. He'll give you many. We have to take the opportunities. So since Paul told us of this story, let's look at another story that Paul told in Acts 21. Acts 21, verse 8. We're going to see if some really good news that Paul gets. So it says, the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. We entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and we stayed with him. The same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. When he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, and he bound his own hands and feet. And he said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jew at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Paul was like, but you've got my girdle. He's like, I saw you pick it up. He's like, my initials are inside of it. So Paul, whoever owns this is in for it, right? So Paul's like, well, let's not go to Jerusalem. He was like, thanks for the warning. No, actually, the people that were with him, when they heard these things, they besought him. They said, don't go. You know what's going to happen. Then Paul answered, and he says, what mean you to cry and to break my heart? For listen, I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Are you ready to die for the name of Jesus? It may come to that. Paul said, thanks for letting me know what's going to happen. Let's go. I'm ready. And it says in verse 14, when he wouldn't be persuaded, we quit trying. And we said, the will of the Lord be done. Paul was going to Jerusalem. You know why? Because he needed to go tell his story. He needed to go tell what had happened to him. It went really well for Paul there. Everyone got saved and they had a big banquet in the fellowship hall, and they made little sandwiches. It was great. That's not exactly what happened. Let's see what happened. Jump down to verse 27. You know, Paul's out doing the work of God in the temple, and he's praying and he's preaching. And it says, and when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews, which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, they stirred up all the people, and they laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place. And further, he brought Greeks into the temple and he's polluted the holy place. So they've got Paul, they take him, they beat him. And Paul's like, I gotta tell you guys this story. Let me tell you why I'm doing what I'm doing. Jump over to chapter 22. He says, men, brethren, fathers, hear my defense, which I make known unto you. And when they heard that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept even more silence. And he said in verse 3, I'm verily a man. I'm a Jew. I was born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law and of the fathers. And I was zealous towards God, just as all of you are today. He said, I persecuted this way unto the death, binding, delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren. I went to Damascus to bring them which were bound to Jerusalem to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. He says, I fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I answered and I said, who are you, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. And he goes on and he continues to tell how he went and he got his sight back. And how he, from that day forward, he spread the gospel. He said, from the day that I met Jesus, see, this was my story, and then Jesus changed it. Now my story's about him and him only. I was doing what I thought was right, and then Jesus. And then Jesus. How many of you have met Jesus, and he changed your life? We need to tell people about that. That's what he did. He told people. Was he then done? Not hardly. So then, he tells his story. They didn't like his story, so they beat him some more. And then they find out that he is a Roman. And they're like, well, what are we going to do? We're going to have to take him to Rome. So Paul's like, great, at least I'm out of here. This will be better. But look in chapter 23, verse 10. There arose a great dissension. The chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, he commanded the soldiers to go down, to take him by force, and to bring him into the castle. And look at this. The night following, the Lord stood by him. Jesus has already gone back to heaven. But he came and he stood by Paul where he was. And you know what he said? He said, be of good cheer. He said, you know what you just did in Jerusalem? Where you testified of me? He said, great. He goes, now I want you to go to Rome and I want you to do it again. Paul's like, you know what? I was down for it the first time, right? No, he was like, let's go. Let's go. He was like, I'll tell my story again. Jump over to Acts 26, verse 9. Paul is now standing in Rome before the king, King Agrippa. And he says, I got to tell you this story. He was like, let me just tell you what happened. He said, I thought with myself that I ought to do many things that were contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem. Many of the saints I put in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. I punished them in every synagogue. I compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even into strange cities. He said, so, you know what? I went to Damascus. I had authority and commission from the chief priests. And at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them that were with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speak to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this reason, to make you a minister and a witness both of these things which you have seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I will now send you. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And he said, after this happened, O king, I was not disobedient unto this heavenly vision. But I showed first unto them of Damascus, and then at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And he said, for this reason, the Jews caught me in the temple and went to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day, witnessing both to small and to great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say would come. He's going from place to place to place, talking about his conversion. Listen, why do we have to keep reading it? Right? You put it in there. No, it's important. Tell your story. He told the same story because it doesn't change what God did for you. Tell your story. He went and he told his fellow men. He went to Rome. He told everyone that would listen. Listen, I was in a bad way. I thought I was doing right, but I was headed to hell. And then Jesus saved my life. Can we not tell people that? Jesus saved our lives. We're not headed to hell. We're headed to heaven. And he continues to tell it. Galatians 1. He writes a letter. In verse 13. He said, you guys have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And I profited the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, when I met Jesus that day, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He didn't go and learn from anyone. He went and met with Jesus. He said, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And he said, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles I didn't see, except for James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I'm not lying. He said, afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. They had only heard that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. He's telling his story over and over and over. We should be excited to tell it. Not, oh, I've already told. Tell it again. And tell it again. And tell it again. Because it's great each and every time. Every time God gives you the opportunity to tell how you were dying and going to hell and He intervened, tell it. And we don't have just one story. There's many stories. The first man told about how Jesus came and he got him out of the tomb and he got him from his chains and from his possession and saved him. The second woman said, I met Jesus and he told me things that only he could know. And then David said, let me tell you about how Jesus, how the God Almighty killed that bear and that lion and how he's going to take out this Philistine. And then Paul went around and he said, listen, I was bad. I was against God, but now I know, and I'm going to tell everyone about it. See, the zeal he had to be against the church was nothing compared to the zeal he had to be for the church. Because God was in him. God lives in us. We have a story to tell. We have so many stories. And he'll show you when to tell them. Revelation chapter 12, and this is where we'll end. John's telling his story of the vision that he was shown. Revelation 12, verse 7. He said there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. But they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And he said, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And in verse 11 it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They didn't love their lives. They loved their lives even not even unto death. It didn't matter. I'm going to share what Jesus did for me. I'm going to share what God did for me. If you have been saved by the blood of Christ, then you have a story to tell. Tell it to anyone that will listen, that they might come to know Him. See, the word of our testimony, our story, for the believer, it always points to Jesus. You aren't the hero of your story. Christ is. So share it. It's all about Him, and it always will be. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You that You have given us a story to tell about how You saved us. The wages of our sin was death, Lord, but You saved us. That we would just say Jesus. That we would say Jesus. That we would ask You into our hearts. Lord, You rewrote our story. Thank You. Yes. Thank You for changing our story to Your story. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And we need to share it so that people will know Him. Father God, give us opportunity to share the stories that You've given us. Give us opportunity to share, to encourage other believers, to share it with the unsaved, that they might know You. To share it with anyone that will listen when You give us the opportunity. Your Holy Spirit will prompt us. This story, this is for him, this is for her, this is for them. We have stories, Lord, and they all point to You as believers. Let us share them and let us be open to Your Spirit to lead us. God, I pray over everyone that heard this, Lord, that they would share their story. And if their story hasn't started because they haven't accepted You, that today is the day of salvation, that they would start, that they would say, today Jesus called me, because He is. He's calling you if you do not have Him as your Lord and Savior. He's calling you right now to say, I want my story to change. I want it to be Your story. Father God, for any of those that haven't given their life to You, Lord, just speak to them right now. Pull them in. Pull them in. And God, for the Christians, encourage them. Remind them of all the things You've done. Remind them of how You saved them. Remind us of all the things You've done in our lives. And God, I thank You in Jesus' name for Your story. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.